Savraz Manzoor, it's delightful to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm quite excited, actually. It's kind of a weird feeling to actually be looking forward to doing something in person.
So you've had great success as a writer, journalist, broadcaster, screenwriter. The list goes on. Is there anything else to add to that?
Stand-up comedian in my own mind? I don't know.
Tell me about your writing, first of all. When did all that start for you?
Well, so I grew up in a really working class kind of family in Luton, and my dad worked in a car factory in Vauxhall. And so I just grew up thinking that people who did interesting jobs weren't like me. Do you know what I mean? Like the people that we grew up with, they just drove taxis, they just did manual labor. So I just never assumed that my life was ever going to pan out to be anything kind of interesting, to be perfectly honest, but I always wanted it to be. I always dreamed. I remember just watching TV and like thinking, what must it be like on the other side of the glass? Or listening to the radio and thinking, what's the person who's actually broadcasting? What's their world like? But it just seemed like another world. And it really all kicked off when I was in my early 20s. I'd graduated from uni and all my friends had started getting incredibly dull jobs. And I was just like, life's short. You only get, if you can do something for 40 hours a week that's not boring, how amazing would that be? And I just couldn't see how that could happen. And then one night I'm watching TV, I'm living in Manchester, and there's a documentary about Oasis that comes on. This is sort of in the mid 90s. And I remember watching it thinking, someone has a job where they get to hang out with Liam and Noel Gallagher. That's what they do. Like, they get paid to do that. So I literally just got her name from the bottom of the TV credits, rang her up the next day, and I said, how do I get to be you? How do I get to do what you do? And she just said, come and meet me for a coffee. I ended up getting 2 weeks work experience at Granada TV. That led to 6 months of work experience. And then fast forward, we're talking now.
Wow, that's incredible.
Well, the thing is, if you don't know anybody, if you don't come from that, you've just got to be cheeky and you've just got to follow your passions, don't you?
And she obviously saw something in you.
Well, I think it's also that thing that I was writing a diary. Like, I'm a writer now, but I actually was a writer when I was 9 years old. I've kept a diary. I've still got it from the age of 9. And it's incredible because my diary is not, oh, you know, Johnny wouldn't play with me. It's Tony Benn is running to be the deputy leader of the Labour Party. This is 1981 and I'm just 9 years old. So I was like really precociously and slightly annoyingly interested in the news and current affairs right from an early age. And I've even got in diary entries when I'm 10 or 11, I've written some things about the stuff that's going on in the news and then saying, and moving on to family news, and I've started talking about things going on in my house. So I kind of had that interest right from the beginning, but I never thought I would necessarily get a chance to shine doing it. And to be honest, one of the people who kind of opened the door to letting me to do that was Bruce Springsteen, you know, because when I was 16 years old, Luton Sixth Form College, a kid comes up to me and he's actually just sitting there listening to music. And I say, what are you listening to? And he says, Bruce Springsteen. And I obviously just laugh at him because it's 1987 and Springsteen's not very cool. And then he just says, Springsteen is the answer to every problem you'll ever have. And so I listened to it. And it was his music which actually opened the door to make me think that another world was possible.
And so forward to your first novel then. Now, that is called Greetings from Berry Park. And that was a huge success. Your very first novel was a huge success.
It was a memoir. And so the book was really about, like, Berry Park is an area in Luton where I grew up. And Springsteen grew up in a place called Asbury Park. And so the book is really about how... It's about growing up in the 80s as a working class kid in a town like Luton and wanting to get out. And as I say, when I heard Springsteen, there's a line in Thunder Road, the last line in Thunder Road, where he says, it's a town full of losers and I'm pulling out of here to win. And I remember listening to that thinking, I had no idea Bruce Springsteen had spent any time in Luton. Like, he seems to be talking exactly about me. But his music wasn't kind of like, you know, like how people like Smiths and people like that were just like, woe is me and I just want to slash my wrist. Springsteen's music was all about hope. It was all about optimism. And it was all about saying life can be better. And so I basically applied that lesson to my life. And then I ended up getting into journalism. And then I ended up getting a chance to write a book. And so when I wanted to write a book, when I was asked to write a book, I just thought, well, what really matters to me? And what really mattered was, how did a kid from an ordinary background, who's not like, I'm not super intelligent, I'm not super talented, how do I get to where I got to? And I realized that it was too responsible for two people. One was my dad, and secondly was Bruce Springsteen. And so the book is in a way a love letter to my late father and to Springsteen. And so that was the memoir. And then a couple of years later, I got a chance to turn it into a film called Blinded by the Light. And then it sort of took off to another world, because basically the whole world got to hear that story.
And how does that feel, seeing you or your story, your life on the big screen?
I mean, it's a bit bonkers, because it's like, I sometimes think it's a bit like, say somebody takes a chunk out of you and throws it on the ground, and then that chunk turns out to be another human being who's a little bit like you. That's what it's like when you're on set and you see this character who is basically you, but being played by an actor. It's you and not you. And what's also really strange is, you write something or you make a film which is really personal. You know, it's about me. Like, I used to write poetry when I was 16 years old, and those real poems are in the film. The character of the dad in the film looks and is dressed like my late father. A lot of my own family photographs are in the film. So it's really personal and really specific. And yet the number of people who now say that dad reminds me of my dad, or the clashes that this kid felt about getting out of Luton is how I felt about my hometown. And it's really lovely when you sort of feel that you've done something really personal, but people are finding their own connection to it.
Do you play a cameo role in the movie?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Because the film is being screened in on Monday night. And I'm going to do a bit of a quiz to see if people can spot me. But I am there. It's a bit of a blink and you'll miss it moment, but I am there.
You have a Hitchcock moment then, do you?
Yeah, but not quite as portly.
Has Springsteen seen it or read the book?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, we couldn't have made the film without his approval, because you can't make a Springsteen film without Springsteen's music, and you can't get his music without his approval. So I've met him a bunch of times, but one time I met him in 2010 in an event in London. He was doing a film premiere, and I got invited, and I took the book with me because I wanted to give it to him to sort of say, this is what I've written, it's about you, it's about me. And so I brought it with me, and then I ended up in this room where he was walking through to sort of, you know, just be meeting and greeting people. And then he spotted me and just like came all the way over and then just like whispered in my ear, "Just want to tell you, I love your book." And I was like, "Oh my God." And he said, "Yeah, I've read it. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing." And it was that moment where we knew that he liked the book that made me think, well, maybe it's worth trying to make this into a film. And then when the premiere happened, we had the premiere in New Jersey in his hometown, and he turned up. And so I had the weird experience of watching a film about my life in a cinema, sitting two rows behind Bruce Springsteen.
Wow, that's amazing. Safraz, this is a good moment to break the interview. And what I'd like to do is play a track by Bruce Springsteen. Do you have a track you'd like us to play?
Pilar, what about Glory Days?
Okay, let's play it. So, exciting times. You have a new book. Can we talk about that?
So the new book is called They: What Muslims and Non-Muslims Get Wrong About Each Other. And in some ways, it's a little bit of a sequel, because it sort of picks up my own personal story from the end of the first book. So the book got published in 2007, and then I then met my now wife the following year. And so in a way, it sort of covers getting married and having two children. But the book is actually about a bigger thing, which is in the 10 years that I, you know, I've been married, it's just over 10 years now. My wife's Scottish and sort of vaguely Christian, and I'm from a Pakistani Muslim background. And so we've got this mixed faith, mixed race family with these two kids. And what I found really interesting is, in the last 10 years, there's been so much depressing news, you know, whether it's about the attacks across Europe of Islamist attacks. You've had ISIS, you've had Donald Trump, you've had the Manchester attack, you had London Bridge. And it was all just so grim. And I was just like, kept thinking, how am I going to raise my children to believe that both sides of their heritage are equally comfortable. Like, it's as cool to be your dad as it is to be their mum, you know? It's like, and I wanted them to feel hopeful about that. So I wrote a book, which was basically me searching for hope, trying to understand why are there these divisions between Muslims and non-Muslims, and what are the stories and what are the reasons to feel hopeful? And so I traveled around the country, spoke to hundreds of people, and I just wrote this book, which it's a real eye opener. Actually, I learned things I didn't know about. But ultimately, it's sort of funny, inspiring, and hopeful. And everyone who reads it says they come away thinking again about things that they thought they knew, which is quite nice. It's one of those books where no matter what you think, you'll find something in it that will surprise and challenge you. And I quite like that, because so often you read a book and it just confirms everything you already think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so this is one of those books which will just definitely be a bit of an eye opener. So great. The event that I'm doing on Monday, we're going to show the film, and then I'm going to come on stage and I'm going to talk both about the film and the new book. So it'll be a chance to sort of ask questions about the film and also the new book. So I'm really excited about that.
So that's at the Trinity Theatre here in Tunbridge Wells, and that's Monday the 2nd of May, right? You're appearing.
Yes, that's
there.
Right, yeah.
So the actual event, you're going to show the movie, and then you're going to walk out on stage and talk about your new book, about the movie. Or are you going to answer questions from the audience?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that hopefully, you know, people will be enthused and excited about seeing the movie. And then after that, they might just have things like how much of it is, people always want to know how much of it is true. What did you make up? You know, where did you film it? What happened afterwards? You know, so if they've got any questions like that, but then also about my own life now and what happens in terms of, because the movie ends with me going to Manchester to uni. And so, you know, if people want to know what happened after that, how did things work out? That's partly what the book and the memoir are about. So it's just really to have a conversation, hopefully, with the people who are there. So I'm really excited about just getting a chance to meet people, because that's what it's really about, isn't it? Whenever you tell a story, you're really trying to connect with people.
Yes.
And so seeing people, getting them to talk and listen and to tell stories, that's what it's all about.
Definitely. Safraz, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for your time. I'm sure Monday.
Well, thank you for talking to me.
No, it's going to be a great success. And good luck with all your ventures and whatever else you're getting up to. I shall watch with interest.
Thank you so much.